for you, America. Welcome to Highly Questionable. Pablo Torre has a glass jaw. Izzy Gutierrez is a bully. And I'm Dominique Foxworth. I'm just handsome.
How do we have the technology to do this?
Did the 49ers make the right call with Trey Lance?
Well, for some reason, the 49ers didn't want to tell us ahead of time they had chosen Trey Lance, which is the 20-year-old quarterback with all the physical tools, but none of the tape. But it seemed like everybody was okay with this pick. This seemed like a growth pick for the 49ers because Kyle Shanahan doesn't normally utilize this type of quarterback, but everybody would say, hey, this is the guy with the most potential. It's the way the NFL is going. And so while I'm really to credit the 49ers with that ability to sort of think outside of their own little box, I'm not ready to say yet that Trey Lance is this can't-miss prospect, in large part because most of the comparisons I'm hearing is Josh Allen. And while Josh Allen did have this breakthrough season, I don't know if he's gotten to Muse level of NFL quarterback yet. I mean, it wasn't too long ago where he was, I think, Winter Soldier arm with Incredible Hulk football IQ, right? Not making the most decisions. And yes, I just recently submerged myself in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So yeah, that's going to be a couple more references coming. So I'm not ready to say this is a slam dunk pick, but I think in terms of just making the 49ers seem like a competent franchise, this seemed like the correct pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll go back even before the pick and thank the 49ers for doing this process properly. Like, the other two teams just kind of let us know who they're going to get. Like, that ruined, they are spoilers of this whole drama that we call NFL and draft. So I appreciate that. Maybe it's because the 49ers didn't know what they were going to do, or maybe it's because they respect the suspense of a primetime telecast. But either way, they made this draft awesome because we had all this speculation and we had all this subterfuge going all around and everyone trying to guess. And then we finally get to this moment and it actually felt like something. The Trevor Lawrence pick was boring. Then the Josh Wilson pick, like, the only funny part about that was him, like, looking uncomfortable after he got drafted, but, and also seeing all 300 people of his family that looked just like him. But the big moment of this draft was Trey Lance, and I appreciate the 49ers for doing that. And a little football analysis, yes, I think they made the right choice. I think if you're going to move up, you want to be able to hit a home run. And I don't think Mac Jones is a home run hitter. I would have been okay with either Lance or Fields, but I like the Lance pick, and especially in that offense with all the weapons that they have and the really talented offensive line. So, yes, Pablo, I don't know if I left any meat on the bone for you, but good luck.
Oh, there is so much meat left on this bone. Number one, the meat that Zach Wilson, it turns out, is Hawaiian. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Zach Capono, Hawaiian. I mean, good Lord. So, back to Trey Lance, though. So, Dominic, I agree with you that he's the right pick. I think he is the pick with the highest ceiling, and the 49ers, for whatever it's worth, they believe they are perhaps uniquely qualified to get a quarterback to hit their ceiling. And they're clearly, as Izzy said, they're playing the long game, right? This is not just about this season. This is a guy they think was worth the king's ransom they paid because he has, again, that cathedral level ceiling of a Josh Allen, maybe even a Patrick Mahomes, a guy who needs to be molded, but has all of these tools that are perhaps singular. What I love, though, about how this played out, and it's brilliant, I didn't recognize it until Dominique started talking about why he appreciated what the Niners did for the suspense. It was brilliantly self-interested simply because by saying, we're going to take Mac Jones, everyone thought they were dumb. And then because they didn't, everyone thought they were smart. It is amazing lowering of the bar that you did yourself.
You're right, because if they hadn't done all this to lead up to the draft, or we hadn't done all this for them, there might be criticism today. There might be like, hey, there was a sure thing there, and you went for a gamble. But nope, today we're all like, man, whew.
Is the rest of the NFL going to regret letting the Patriots draft Mac Jones?
I can only imagine Bill Belichick in the war room there seeing something quite familiar, an immobile quarterback with an infamous shirtless pick somewhere in the internet falling in the draft and saying, that's my guy. I got to have that. And no, I'm not ready to say that because they drafted a guy that the 49ers were saying, hey, maybe we'll draft third, and falling to 15 with the Patriots, I'm not ready to say that that's the reason why the Patriots got a steal in this draft, because frankly, if you just look at the quarterbacks that Bill Belichick has drafted since he's been in New England, none of them are awe-inspiring. In fact, Jared Stidham is working on year 3 and we still haven't seen anything out of him. So no, I'd rather go with the conspiracy theory that the Niners were talking up Mac Jones so the Patriots wouldn't look bad drafting him at 15, more so than the theory that they are going to succeed wildly with Mac Jones. And again, I will reference you to the photo floating around the internet. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I can't tolerate this shirtless snobbery from Izzy Gutierrez. Of course he would have that opinion.
Are you the only Ablis person up here? Are you the only Ablis person on this panel? Not
I have an ab. I have an ab. How dare you? Is there a parentheses S after that? Who's to say? I'm a very modest person on television. But Mac Jones, in terms of like, is he Tom Brady? Like, part of the characterization I get, the other parts don't make any sense to me, right? Like, the whole point of Tom Brady is that he was the 199th pick. He wasn't the dude at Alabama who was breaking all of these accuracy records at Alabama. And also, more to the point of like why you might be skeptical of him in the NFL, he also took advantage of matchup advantages everywhere on the field. I believe he played in total with like 5 first round draft pick wide receivers in all. There were 2 of them in the first round taken ahead of him. So I get that he'll make easy completions. I think he has the ability to do that. He can process the scheme, all that. That sounds cool. But his dominance is so predicated on having those athletes that, by the way, the Patriots don't have because they have the worst receiving core in the entire NFL.
Yeah, he's going to be playing against better defenses with worse weapons. Like, that is, very few players can say that, but he can. Like, every receiver that he has up there is going to be worse than all the receivers that he had when he was in college. So I like you guys, am not ready to anoint him as the second coming of Tom Brady. And we have no reason to believe that Bill Belichick is all that great at spotting quarterbacks. Like, Tom Brady was at the end of the draft. And then they got Jimmy Garoppolo, who it seems can't stay healthy, but is okay, but not good. Has a lot of interceptions when he is healthy. We had that 1 year of Matt Castle, who he went off to be good elsewhere. We had Ryan Mallett, who is not really good. And we have a host of other draft picks that it seems like Bill Belichick missed on. So I think that there's some psychic reward that we feel like they're getting now because somehow the 49ers convinced us that Mac Jones was a top 3 quarterback. And now we're like, oh, they got a top 3 quarterback at 15. No. When this draft season started, a lot of people were mocking Mac Jones to go 15 to New England or to slide to even later in the draft. So yes. I'm not quite ready to suggest that Mac Jones is the man, especially since Tua, a quarterback that we all accept as like more talented Mac Jones, came out of that Alabama system with an injury to his hip, yes, but hasn't really proven himself as dominant yet in the league.
Up next on HQ.
Like, this is their only hope, is that they get this guy in there, Justin Fields, that is, and they give him all the reps with the ones. I'll give you one practice. You can have the first day, Andy Dalton. But after that, we got to give them all to this guy.
Are the Bears finally set at quarterback with Justin Fields?
Well, I don't think anybody really knows the answer to that, because I don't think anybody knows the answer to any of these, 1, 2, or 3. But for the Bears, a quarterback-starved franchise, a team that just is trying to get over the fact that they traded up to draft Mitch Trubisky again, over Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's one of those mistakes you kind of never get over. But if this one lands, if Justin Fields is just the guy with all the ability who happened to fall in the draft for whatever reason, then this is absolutely a slam dunk for them, and it's something that the city should absolutely celebrate, because again, we've seen quarterbacks in Chicago fail miserably over the course of several years, and this team remains prepared to win at a high level if the offense can catch up. So don't know if he's ready now or if it's going to be Andy Dalton's team for 1 or 2 years, but if you're talking 3 or 4 years down the line, Chicago probably should be excited about this.
Yeah, they definitely should be excited because they did the right thing in that moment to trade up and get this guy. However, if Andy Dalton plays any snaps, then Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are moving. Like, they are packing up their stuff ready to go. Like, this is their only hope, is that they get this guy in there, Justin Fields, that is, and they give him all the reps with the ones. I'll give you one practice. You can have the first day, Andy Dalton. But after that, we got to give them all to this guy because we know what Andy Dalton is. Andy Dalton is not a job saver. They hope that Justin Fields comes in there and saves their job. So for them, I think it's great. For Justin, I don't know about it. Like, I don't know that it's a great situation. Normally, when you slide in a draft, you end up in a great situation, and you would like that. That's what happens to a lot of these players. That's the reason why so many of the best early playing quarterbacks are guys who slipped in the draft, because they're going to teams that are ready for them. The Bears have drafted pretty well and built a pretty good team. On the defensive side of the ball, I'm not sure that the same can be said on the offensive side of the ball. And if things don't go well this year, I can see Justin Fields being one of those quarterbacks that has three offensive coordinators in 5 years. And we're like, at the end of this, we don't really know what kind of player he is.
But the cycle, I mean, Izzy, what you said before about the Bears have had like some trouble over several years getting quarterbacks, they've had trouble for 71 years. I mean, not since Sid Luckman have they had a franchise quarterback. This has been the number one thing that's plagued this organization literally for three lifetimes. So I think that Justin Fields is the right pick. But to add to what Dominique said, like, there is a perverse wrinkle here. If you are a Bears fan who likes Justin Fields, but really does doubt Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy as the brain trust of your team, because what this does is just give them more time, right? Like, it's an excuse. We need time to see our quarterback through. Give us a couple more years at least, because this is our guy. It would be unfair if you didn't. And it does seem like an amazing Ponzi scheme, even if he is, in fact, the right quarterback for them to take.
Come on, Pablo. Hazard a guess. What number was Sid Luckman?
Oh, that sounds like a real
lucky number seven.
I was going to go seven, but I think it's because everybody guesses seven when you ask him to pick a number in the single digits.
42.
Ooh, way off.
Do you see the Packers actually keeping Aaron Rodgers?
So this was the big news yesterday before the draft actually started. Adam Schefter reporting that Aaron Rodgers, surprise, does not want to come back to Green Bay. And that just obviously set the NFL world all a Twitter. And Pablo got an easy Jeopardy pun out of it that got some attention, but nobody needs to talk about that anymore. I think we all know that this is intriguing here. We all want to see if he can actually get out of there. It doesn't seem like he would have any leverage here because the Packers GM, whose name I'm going to pass on because it looks like if I say it wrong, it's going to actually hurt my mouth. he says that Aaron Rodgers is going to be around and he is under contract. So unless Aaron goes really ugly with this and threatens not to show up, I'm not sure how much changes here. But when you've got the NFL MVP saying, I don't want to be here anymore, man, that's got to just set the entire league on fire.
Yeah, Gutekunst, ow. Yeah, that does sound weird coming out. Brian Gutekunst, though, and this team, like, they have a very delicate dynamic that pretty much has never existed before. But there has never been a defending NFL MVP get traded the season after. And more than that, the way contracts work right now, Dominique, my understanding per the CBA is that it is incredibly punitive for a veteran player to hold out, to sit out, to miss games. I mean, I believe the number would be like $25 million or so if Aaron Rodgers did want to actually make the step that I think he needs to make. I mean, that is Alex Trebek, max contract, Jeopardy type of money. And the fact that his people, Aaron Rodgers' people, are very transparently, by the way, like, nobody has Jeopardy sources in NFL media, but suddenly all of these NFL media people are like, I've heard he's been doing really well, and all of these executives may give him the job. And it's like, okay, that's clearly Aaron Rodgers puppeteering people who I will keep nameless for reasons. But I think that this is desperation from Aaron Rodgers. I think they have no reason to do it if Aaron Rodgers is going to play games for them. And until we see otherwise, I see this being a long, protracted feud.
Well, I appreciate that they are finding new ways to create leverage, even if it's a job that is probably not going to happen. That's fine. But you said Aaron Rodgers is desperate. Desperate for what? Like, he's won a Super Bowl. He's got some MVPs. He's got a lot of money. Like, I don't feel like he's the desperate one. I feel like Green Bay needs him much more than he needs them. So our good friend Goody made the decision last year to draft Jordan Love. And I think that sometimes you draft players and you think you're so smart and you're thinking ahead of things, but you forget that these are people and they have feelings, and most of their feelings don't matter unless they're MVP Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. Then your feelings matter. You should consider him before you start drafting for the future when you have a championship level team. So I don't begrudge Aaron Rodgers in any way, and I don't think that Gutekunst, a.k.a. Goody, is in great shape right now. I think Aaron Rodgers has all the power.
I'm going to get ahead of this as somebody who has been called Goody as a potential nickname in the past. It's not one he's going to like, okay? He's real Goody, there he is. So I'm curious, Dom, it is just a feelings thing. This just does feel like a relationship issue and people's feelings being hurt. This isn't necessarily a money thing, or is it a respect? Like, what is it?
It's a feeling thing. Like, you can't fix this with money. You can't fix this with draft picks. You can't fix this with a conversation. Aaron Rodgers gave it a whole season, a great season, to get over it. And he didn't get over it. So I think you should take him at his word. He wants out. And I would suspect, and this is not any real reporting, but watching the Broncos last night draft a cornerback, the one position that that they desperately need in Green Bay, while there are two potential quarterbacks on the board, like, to me, that suggests that there is something in the works.
There's one thing John Elway's good at.
Name it. Throwing footballs?
No,
being
snatching
tall.
A Hall of Fame quarterback from another franchise.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that too.
Goody, that was a little confusing.
yeah. Sorry, Goody. Nice shot, buddy.
Do you question who is more excited to celebrate with friends and family, Jalen Waddle or Alex Leatherwood?
Well, Jalen Waddle got picked sixth by the Dolphins. And before we go to this video here, I'm reminded of a story where Jerry Jeudy was quoted as describing the Alabama receivers and said Jalen Waddle was the athletic one. More athletic than Henry Ruggs or anybody else on that roster. Here was his draft day celebration.
That's the coldest thing ever.
Well, to be fair, he is used to turning and leaving people in the dust. But it is funny because the only thing I read from Jalen Waddle, the only couple quotes I read from him in the Miami Herald, was how excited he was to have his family and friends in town for the celebration, and then he's out.
But his family and friends, Izzy, they clearly get this. I mean, they were all standing. He was sitting with like a 6-foot distancing thing for reasons not having to do with like viral protection, but just like that's how he gets down. Like, no, leave him be. He's doing his own thing, which I obviously do respect.
Let's see Leatherwood. Let's see what he's up to.
Let's check in on the Raiders pick Leatherwood, the offensive lineman who was quite the surprise.
Oh, I see you. Ride that bike.
Ooh, okay.
Mom is hyped.
Mom is a little
very
too
hyped.
Stealing some shine over here. okay. Yep.
Ooh.
Okay, he's not done posing.
I mean, that's a family I could, you know, hang out with.
I love all of the reactions. It's a lot of fun, but I hate to burst your bubble, and it's kind of bursting my own bubble, but Jalen Waddle's reaction that we saw last night, I loved it. It was cool as hell. It was funny and awesome. He looked great. Sunglasses inside. Just get up and walk. But when he got the call, they actually all did hug and celebrate. So when his phone was ringing and someone's calling him, they hugged and celebrated. And then they went back and he sat down.
Wait, and they made a meme?
Everyone was positioned because they already knew what was going to happen. So it was still a cold moment. I enjoyed it. I love it. But he's still a family man. He hugged them all and got all excited and then walked out there in his very, very fresh suit.
How dare you accuse someone else on this program of doing a bit for the cameras.
Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, Jazz and Suns.
Well, I'm definitely intrigued. The Suns have been playing great lately. This is the battle for the top seed out west as they're separated by just one game. Here is presumptive defensive player of the year contender, Rudy Gobert.
Jazz have taken just 2 3-point shots, pretty much 2.
Okay.
Alright.
Get that out.
Why are we... isn't that impressive?
Yeah, no. Where is the montage of Ben Simmons if he's supposed to be DPOY here?
Yeah, I mean, I watch the Sixers do this, you know, a top three defense themselves do this all the time. Like, yeah, no.
I don't know. I only see Rudy doing it. Are you intrigued, though?
What? What?
Oh,
what is this music?
Yes. I mean, you put these two tapes together.
What did you type into the license-free music library?
Oh.
Like
stop
royal,
trying to distract us from your deep boy contender
monarchy,
getting dunked on over and over again.
That's absurd.
How about you, Dom? Are you intrigued?
I mean, after a night of watching people not compete, I am intrigued by a night of actual sports competition. Like, this is a weird thing that we have where we love the draft. And I have to admit, I enjoyed it. But nothing about that is sports. Like, it's not a competition. So I'm looking forward to seeing two of the top teams in the West compete for the chance to eventually lose to LeBron in the Western Conference Finals.
And Rudy Gobert would like to thank Pablo and the producers of this show because they're making us forget that he left D'Angelo Russell wide open for a game winner just 2 games ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to bring that up, is the Rudy Gobert. Like, he's really great in the regular season, and I don't call myself some sort of basketball analyst, but isn't it kind of a thing where he gets schemed off the floor in big postseason situations? Which I guess same could be said for your DPOY.
No. Yeah. Yep. Nope. Not familiar with that dynamic at all.
That's all the time we have left for today. Pablo Torre is going to go with Mac Jones to an ableist convention of some sort. Dominique and I are just going to hang out.
Show it. Show it. Let's see. Oh.
Ooh.
Other way, Pablo.
Wait, there it is. There it is.